Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, it is almost UFC 189 weekend, and this is another edition of your often imitated, never duplicated, one stop, one home, only home for all things MMA, the MMA Corner Radio. My name is Dale D'Souza, as always, the host of the MMA Corner Radio. And fight fans, for those of you who want to get your MMA fix a little bit early tomorrow night, Invicta FC, you have Chris Cyborg, Jusinos in action. You have a star-studded from top to bottom, just an absolutely incredible array of women's talent, as only Invicta FC can line up. Shannon Knepp and Julie Kitty do it again. That event will take place again tomorrow night on UFC Fight Pass. So if you don't have UFC Fight Pass, make sure you sign up today. It's very well worth the money, an extensive library of fights and other things to help get you excited for essentially all things UFC and all things MMA, although, of course, no one better than the MMA Corner than to do that for you. Also, stop by themmacorner.com. We will have full coverage of Invicta FC tomorrow night. We will also have coverage of UFC 189 this weekend. Speaking of UFC 189, obviously we talked last week, a little bit of a shift as Chad Mendes now the main event against Conor McGregor. And, you know, it's going to be a little bit difficult to say for sure whether or not Chad Mendes is going to be the guy to beat Jose Aldo if he gets by Conor McGregor. It's going to be even tougher to say that Conor McGregor will definitely look like the guy to beat Jose Aldo, because, you know, this is the type of performance where a guy can get made or a guy can get broke. A guy can look good, as Conor McGregor has in all of his fights, and, you know, you can definitely say he looked good in a lot of his fights, say for maybe Max Holloway. But there's a difference between fighting guys the caliber, well, not the caliber, but, you know, guys in the career position of a Marcus Brimage or Diego Brandão or Dustin Poirier or Dennis Seaver. There's a difference between fighting those guys and fighting someone like Chad Mendes. I definitely think this is a fight where if anything is going to look one-sided, it's going to be the offensive display, if you will, of Chad Mendes that makes this fight seem so one-sided. Because, so like I said last week, I know a lot of people have been saying it for a long time, but I'm going to say it. This is arguably Conor McGregor's toughest fight for the simple fact that Chad Mendes is a wrestler, and a way better wrestler than anyone that Conor McGregor has fought up to this point. Not saying Conor McGregor can't win this fight. He can win this fight. Question is, how does he answer the wrestler question? He didn't necessarily have to do it against Brimage. He didn't have to do it against Holloway. He didn't have to do it against Brandão. Didn't have to do it against Poirier. Really didn't have to do that much of it, even though he ended up taking a Seaver two rounds. Probably wouldn't have had to do it if he fought Cole Miller, but, you know, he never ended up fighting Cole Miller. In fact, that's how the Randolph fight came about, is, you know, an injury befell Cole Miller. Diego Brandão stepped up. Boom. McGregor Brandão. But, see, here's the thing. McGregor can win. It's just that the thing he has to do to win is a little bit easier said than done. He has to use range. He has to be careful which kicks he throws. He likes to throw the spinning stuff as well as he likes to throw you know, conventional head kicks and that sort of thing, and it's not a bit of an overstatement to say that Conor McGregor is very fluid in his striking. However, if you throw a kick, you know, you better be aiming more for the legs than the body or the head, especially against a wrestler like Chad Mendes. He doesn't have the arm length to go after a Conor McGregor. You know, he's not going to have the arm advantage, I don't think. He definitely isn't going to have the reach advantage in the legs. I believe he's given up a few. I forget how many inches of height he's given up, but he's going to give up some height to Conor McGregor, which is probably going to give McGregor more of an edge as far as the kicks. However, one kick is all Conor McGregor needs to throw before Chad Mendes can change levels. Well, first grab the leg and then change levels and then get the takedown that he wants, and then he can keep down Conor McGregor. And we've never seen McGregor respond to that type of challenge before. Seabird really didn't keep him down for that long. Whenever he did get a takedown, he wasn't really able to press McGregor against the cage for really that long. McGregor was able to find his way out and to still manage to keep control of the fight. He really left Seaver with no answers. But, again, Mendes is going to be a tough fight, even though he does have a reach disadvantage partially because of the kicks, and partially because, you know, McGregor's never had to outstrike a guy that can do what Chad Mendes does. And, you know, it's not even just the wrestling, you know. McGregor has two losses by submission, if you recall. What does that mean for the Chad Mendes fight? Well, that means that Conor McGregor better be sure that he knows how to defend all different types of submissions. He's a specimen of movement. He loves to talk about human movement almost every fight in the pre-fight. So here's hoping that he knows the different ways that Chad Mendes can move his body, in order to secure a submission. How many different ways can he go for the arm? How many different ways can he go for the leg? How many different ways can he trap McGregor's body and, you know, lock up a rear naked choke or a guillotine choke? The guillotine choke is the team alpha male signature as far as submissions are concerned. You know, Ben Avenis has done it. Uriah Faber's done it. TJ Dillashaw, I believe, has gone for it a few times. Name anyone you want to name from that camp. They've all at least attempted a guillotine choke at one point or another. And it's just become, you know, like I said, the team alpha male signature. So now as far as the submissions are concerned, I mean, if I'm Conor McGregor, I'm looking out for all those different types of things, because those are things you have to look out for in mixed martial arts. I mean, McGregor's always said that the best base is no base. Well, when the best base is no base, that means you better be expecting the guy to contort his body in all different types of positions in order to put a whooping on you. Otherwise, there goes your fight with Jose Aldo once he recovers. Robbie Lawler versus Rory McDonald. This is a fight that I don't think has gotten any sort of love because I guess skills don't really sell. What more can you say? You would think by now that a knockout from Robbie Lawler would be able to sell. You think that, Rory McDonald's potential, which, by the way, still scares the crap out of me. Even though, you know, he's had some up-and-down performances in the past few years, but the guy's still solid. The guy's still a beast. The guy can still do just about anything. Now he's not the type of guy that's going to pull off some weird, never really seen in the octagon submission. He's not going to go for a go-go plotter or anything. He's not going to go for a vaporizer or a sorcerer or anything like that. But McDonald is going to be crazy in the sense of, you know, when he lands strikes on you or when he tosses you down, it's going to be as violent as anything that has ever knocked out anyone when they've had to go up against Robbie Lawler. Well, unless your name is Johnny Hendricks or, Lawrence Larkin. In which case, you never really got knocked out by Robbie Lawler. Or unless you're Nick Diaz, who I think is the only guy that I can recall that's actually knocked out Robbie Lawler. I think some guys have come close. Melvin Manhoff came close. But I think as it stands right now, Mickey is the only guy to do it. And I don't think I think that if Rory McDonald wins this fight, it's going to have to be a decision. You know, I don't think he has the jiu-jitsu game to particularly stifle Robbie Lawler. I don't think he has the knockout power to rock Lawler. I think he can put on the pressure to tire him out, and we've seen him get pressured. We've seen him get outworked. We've seen Robbie Lawler have to really dig deep in order to try and pull out something in kind of the later rounds. And he had to do it the first time against Johnny Hendricks. I mean, whether you thought he won the first fight or not, he still had to dig deep. I mean, you can't say that Johnny didn't pressure him. Johnny pressured him, and Rory can pressure him. But, you know, as far as this guy is concerned, I think Rory McDonald's best efforts to pressure Robbie, I think at best they're only going to be good enough to get the decision. And the way I figure it, if Rory McDonald does win this fight, if he does take a decision from Robbie Lawler, it's not going to be a very clear-cut decision. It's not going to be a unanimous decision. It's not even going to be a close unanimous decision. The first time it happened, it was a very close fight. I think I actually had I think I picked Roy to beat Robbie Lawler. But I think when Robbie Lawler took the decision and ended up snapping Roy McDonald's, oh, how many fights long was that streak? I forget how long it was. But when Robbie snapped that streak, I believe it was a split decision. I think it was a very, very close call, if I'm not mistaken. And the same thing is liable to happen come Saturday night. So, you know, I wouldn't necessarily write out Rory McDonald just because, you know, he's been in a close one with Lawler before. The only real difference between then and now is now he has to do it for 5 rounds. When he first fought Lawler, he had to do it for 3 rounds. So if Rory McDonald can make it a close fight against a notable knockout artist for 3 rounds and just barely lose the fight, what do you think he'll do to try and make this a close one for 5 rounds? And let's not get it twisted. Rory McDonald can at least make it a close one for 5 rounds. Dennis Bermudez versus Jeremy Stephens. This is going to be a barn burner, said everyone that paid attention to this fight. Here's the thing about Dennis Bermudez. I mean, he's been in barn burners. He's been in close fights. He's been in fights where, you know, it looked like he should have won the fight. And personally, I thought he actually did win one. I'm trying to remember. I believe it was Max Holloway. Now, I forget if Bermudez won that fight or if Holloway won that fight. But I remember it being a pretty close fight, and there was some controversy about it. I want to say Bermudez actually won that fight, and a lot of people thought Holloway should have won that fight. But the fact that you know, Dennis Bermudez had a close one with Max Holloway, that tells you that Dennis Bermudez, he can make it a close fight. He's more than likely not going to try and make it a close fight. He'll try to, you know, take down Jeremy Stephens. He'll try to either submit him, punch him out on the ground, or, you know, take a decision. And, you know, Bermudez can do any of the three. And, you know, if he has to, then, yeah, he can probably grind out Stephens too. I wouldn't be shocked if he tried to grind out Stephens because, you know, that's essentially the only way I really see anyone with the skill set of Bermudez really beating Jeremy Stephens. They're not really going to have much success knocking him out. They're going to want to try and take a decision on the guy. They're going to want to try and grind out a decision. So I'm not necessarily sure if I'd say this is necessarily going to be fight of the night, especially considering what could happen with the two title fights. But I wouldn't be shocked if it took home by the night either. Gunnar Nelson versus Brandon Thatch. Both guys coming off their first UFC losses. As a matter of fact, I believe the last time we saw Gunnar Nelson was against Rick Story, and that was actually Gunnar's first career loss. Brandon Thatch, his first loss since, I believe, pre-RFA. Brandon Thatch really didn't have anything to be bummed about. The loss came against Benson Henderson, a former UFC lightweight champion. You know, now I believe Benson is trying to make a steady trek towards the UFC welterweight
rankings. I believe he's moved up full-time to the welterweight, although I could be a little bit mistaken. Maybe his next fight's at lightweight and I just forgot. I don't know. But Brandon Thatcher versus Gunnar Nelson, I think this is a pretty straightforward contrast of styles. In Thatcher, I think you're going to get a spectacular striking display. You're going to get, you know, kind of a striking battle if you stand with him. Gunnar, not really afraid to stand at times, but I think his best edge is going to be trying to take down Brandon and trying to out-grapple him. I mean, Gunnar's still one of the most feared grapplers in the welterweight division, and I think it's going to be very difficult for Brandon Thatch to do in 3 rounds what Rick Story was able to do in 5. But that's not to say it can't happen. I mean, you know, Brandon Thatch definitely can do that within 3 rounds. It's just a matter of, you know, what does he have up his sleeve? What is he trying to do? Because you could easily say that he has to do what Story did, but then he might come out trying to do something else that Story didn't even try to do. And it could either cost that or it could actually net him the win. So we'll wait and see what happens with that fight, but I think with Gunnar and Thatch, it's a straightforward striker versus grappler bout. It should be a very entertaining stuff to watch. Speaking of very straightforward, entertaining striker versus grappler bouts, how about Thomas Almeida versus Brad Pickett? Now, I got to say, I've been very hyped on Thomas Almeida. This is going to be, you know, a kid that I think makes major, major waves if he keeps on doing what he's done in his past fights, both outside of the UFC and inside the UFC. My big concern coming into this fight with Brad Pickett is the fact that there are top-tier bantamweights, and then there's Brad Pickett, who actually fought at flyweight for a little bit. You know, he had some good bouts at flyweight. I believe he's moving back up in weight to take the fight with Almeida. And, you know, Pickett, I don't remember him really being undersized for bantamweight. I thought he could hang with a lot of the guys at 135. I definitely think he can do a little bit more than just hang with Thomas Almeida. We got to remember, this is a guy that is nicknamed One Punch, but the majority of his wins are submission wins. I think the only time when we saw the guy really unable to out-grapple someone probably might have been when I saw him. Well, actually, it was Ian McCall was one example at flyweight, but at bantamweight, Hannon Burrell always sticks in my mind because I thought Brad Pickett was going to be the toughest test for Hannon, and look at the way that Hannon went through Brad Pickett. I'm not going to say for sure whether I think Brad Pickett is going to, you know, take down and absolutely annihilate Thomas Almeida. But I think, you know, just as quickly as I say that Almeida's in for a tough one, I think Pickett's in for a tough one. I think Pickett is he's gonna have a lot to offer Almeida, but at the same time, Almeida, a very versatile striker. The kid can go to the body. He can hang with you against the cage. You know, he's not afraid to have his back against the cage. He's very composed, actually, if you put him against the cage. And it's not that, you know, he fights so well when his back's against the wall. It's that, you know, he doesn't freak out a lot about anything. You know, he doesn't try to fight too wild. When he has you hurt, though, that's when he has you hurt, and then that's when you're really in trouble. So it's going to be very interesting to see, simple terms, whether or not Almeida can provide some trouble for Brad Pickett. It's going to also be interesting to see how much trouble Brad Pickett can give Mr. Almeida. As for the preliminary portion of the card, we remind you that there are Fox Sports 1 prelims as well as UFC Fight Pass prelims. Matt Brown will headline the preliminary portion of the card against Dirty Bird Tim Means. Cathal Pendred, after losing a fight, losing a booking, rather, with John Hathaway on the heels of his UFC 188 win over Augusto Montano. Cathal will now face Doomsday John Howard. The Dominican Nightmare, Alex Garcia, back in action against Mike Quick-Swick. Henry Briones against the Alpha Male, product Cody Garbrandt. And this is a kid And Cody Garbrandt, you know, he really, really turned heads in his UFC debut. I'm really excited to see what he can do against Briones. I think this is going to be a very, very entertaining fight. I think it's going to be a very fun fight. I look for another impressive performance from Cody Garbrandt. As for the UFC Fight Pass portion of the card, Neil Siri, former Cage Warriors flyweight champion, in action against Louis Smolka, and Yostanis Sedano versus Cody Pfister. This should be a very interesting way to kick off the fight pass portion of the preliminary card. And ladies and gentlemen, one other big question that we have to speculate on before we even get into the main card predictions for UFC 189 is the big, bad pay-per-view buy rate question. I mean, even back when it was Conor McGregor versus Jose Aldo, there was a lot of speculation that this fight card had the potential to break a million buys. And very, very few UFC fight cards in the post-George St. Pierre era have really been able to do that. Chris Weidman has had a little bit of success doing that. I believe a few Anderson Silva cards, you know, touched the million. Oh, I think actually one or two of them. But then again, you know, Anderson Silva sold based on his opponents. But the big bad question that we got to ask is, you know, with Chad Mendes fighting Conor McGregor for the interim featherweight title now, will this fight card break a million buys? And honestly, you know, with a lot of people, I mean, here's how I look at it, and here's how I want to answer the question. If you're buying UFC 189, you're probably only buying it partially for Robbie Lawler versus Rory McDonald. And it's a darn shame, because that's going to be one hell of a fight in its own right. But the way I see it, if you're buying UFC 189, not watching it, but if you're buying UFC 189, if you're spending your hard-earned money on UFC 189, which will emanate live from the MGM Grand Garden Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada, this Saturday night, live on pay-per-view, buying it because you want to see Conor McGregor continue his tear, basically do what he's said he's going to do to Chad Mendes, and make this basically seem like a walkthrough. Or you're buying the fight card because in no edited terms, you want to see Chad Mendes whoop Conor McGregor's ass. It's one or the other, and there's really no middle ground. I mean, you either think Conor McGregor's whooping Chad Mendes's ass, or you're thinking Chad Mendes is whooping Conor McGregor's ass. You can be fans of both if you want. I mean, hell, as fighters, yeah, I respect Chad Mendes. I respect Conor McGregor, too. But as you will see in another couple of minutes, or as you will hear in another couple of minutes, yeah, even I'm making a straightforward pick for Conor McGregor and Chad Mendes. I wouldn't have done it with Conor McGregor and Jose Aldo. I'll gladly do it with Conor McGregor versus Chad Mendes, because I think that's a little bit more of a straightforward one or the other call. There's no sitting on the fence and, you know, landing in Aldo's yard 1 minute, McGregor's the next, or, oh, ask me on fight night, I might have Aldo, I might have McGregor. No. It's a pretty straightforward thing. You either think McGregor's winning or you think Chad Mendes is winning. I can't say that enough times. I'll probably repeat that about 10,000 times before I get to my actual pick for that fight, once we start breaking this fight card down. The point I'm trying to get at with, you know, with the whole straightforward thing, with the whole, you know, you're either for McGregor or you're against McGregor, blah, 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 I think that's going to cause a lot of people to tune into this fight card. I think a lot of people are going to be that anxious for the fight card. There's no question that Conor McGregor has attracted the attention of fans that honestly probably just today maybe realize what the hell MMA is. And that happens with every fight card. You got fighters that'll attract enough attention to where fans will buy their fight card, even if they're not necessarily the headlining attraction. And Conor McGregor has brought heads to pay-per-view cards before. We got to remember when Jones versus Cormier initially fell through, and Demetrius Johnson and Chris Carriazo, you know, took
took headlining status. A lot of the people that bought UFC 178, I believe it was. Yeah, UFC 178. When they bought UFC 178, when they bought the Johnson Carriazo card, most of them were just trying to watch Conor McGregor versus Dustin Poirier. And I think it's kind of the same case here. Yeah, they would have loved to see Conor McGregor versus Jose Aldo, but now they're getting to see McGregor versus Mendez. They want to think, oh, is this guy really all hype? You know, can he really stand up to the only guy to really challenge Jose Aldo ever since he won the then WEC featherweight title? We'll wait and see. And I'll get to my pick for that fight, right? UFC 189 main card predictions brought to you by the MMA Corner Radio, your one and only home for all things MMA, on the web, on Blog Talk Radio, anywhere in the world. So, Thomas Almeida versus Brad Pickett. Like I said, I think it's a tough fight both ways. I think Brad Pickett offers a lot to Thomas Almeida, especially in the grappling format. I think Thomas Almeida offers plenty to Brad Pickett in the striking department. The key for Thomas Almeida here, I think, is takedown defense, making sure he does not end up in Brad Pickett's world. I don't believe that Thomas Almeida will attempt any submissions, but I think he will have to try and defend submissions. I think he's going to have to show what kind of a ground game he has against a guy like Brad Pickett, who has proven himself to be one of the best grapplers in both the bantamweight and flyweight divisions. Despite the challenge that Brad Pickett presents, I'm going to go with Thomas Almeida. First round TKO. I think that Brad Pickett's just not going to be able to take him down early. I think he's going to be forced to stand and trade with Thomas Almeida, and I think we're going to see a little bit of a striking clinic from Almeida. Gunnar Nelson versus Brandon Thatch. Brandon Thatch, an ex-striker, an excellent all-around welterweight product. I think this kid offers a lot to the division, and I think this guy can go a long way as far as, earning himself a UFC welterweight title shot. However, I do think Gunnar Nelson is going to be a legitimate threat, to his goal. I think Gunnar Nelson is probably going to put on one hell of a grappling clinic. So where I had Thomas Almeida putting on a striking clinic, I have Gunnar Nelson putting on a grappling clinic. And I have Gunnar Nelson actually taking a unanimous decision from Thatch. I don't think he's going to be able to submit Thatch, at least not the way that Benson Henderson was. And I don't think Gunnar Nelson's going to be able to secure a finish within the distance, but I think what he does on the ground will be enough to earn him a very clear-cut unanimous decision win. Dennis Bermudez versus Jeremy Stephens, again. When you bring what Dennis Bermudez does to the table, it's going to be very hard for someone to beat Jeremy Stephens without making it sort of a grinding affair. I do see Dennis Bermudez grinding out a win over Jeremy Stephens. I think it will be. I think this will also be a unanimous decision. However, I would not look for this to be one of the more exciting fights of the night. Matter of fact, I think if it stays standing for too long, I think Bermudez gets dropped and gets put out by Jeremy Stephens. And we've seen it happen before. And this isn't Jeremy Stephens on the decline. He's only lost a few top-level guys as of recently. A classic leader, Bermudez, a little bit of a... it would be interesting to see him get a submission win over Stevens, but again, I got a unanimous decision for them too. Robbie Lawler versus Rory McDonald. This is going to be a very close cut bout. I do not see this ending in the finish. I do not see this ending in a unanimous decision verdict. I do think, however, that Robbie Lawler will just barely, and I'm just saying just barely, take the split decision win over Rory McDonald. I think it's going to be essentially similar to what he did to McDonald in the first bout, the only difference, two extra rounds. I predict that I will have the bout scored at least 49-46 for Robbie Lawler, but at the end bout, it's going to be a pretty close bout. I think there's actually going to be a little bit a little bit of debate as to whether or not Rory McDonald won at least two or three of the rounds that it looks like Waller won. And I'm going to say this because I'm calling a 49-46 for Robbie Lawler on my scorecard, but who knows? Rory might take one round. He might actually take three rounds. So, you know, we'll just wait and see. But I got Robbie Lawler's split decision. Conor McGregor versus Chad Mendes. Now, why, oh, why is this such a straightforward bout? Because this fight breaks down as a very straightforward bout. Conor McGregor does have the reach advantage in a few areas, but at the end of the day, Conor McGregor, the specimen of movement, the notorious one, whatever you want to call him, you know, Mystic Mac, Mystic Meg, whatever you want to call him, shut up, Meg. McGregor is still a striker, and Mendes is still the best wrestler, if not recognized as the first wrestler that McGregor's fought in a straight-up UFC bout. And when you've gone your whole UFC run really facing a wrestler of the caliber of Chad Mendes, that's going to raise a lot of questions. I think for McGregor to win this fight, he has to use that range. You know, he has to use, you know, basically everything in his arsenal to keep Chad Mendes at bay, just kind of keep him against the cage. Don't get in too close to him. Don't try and press him up against the cage. If you get too close to him, if you try to press him up against the cage or anything like that, Mendes is a solid, solid wrestler. You know, he'll find an opening to look for a double leg or a single leg. I think the only way that Chad Mendes gets taken down and stays down is essentially if Conor McGregor drops Chad Mendes, swarms on him, and is somehow unable to get the finish, and then all of a sudden we just see a tremendous triangle and tremendous ground control from Conor McGregor. However, I said this on the show last week, and I'm going to say it again. I don't believe that, I believe that Aldo McGregor will happen, but I don't think this is the time that it's going to happen. I think Chad Mendes is going to actually get a TKO win over Conor McGregor. It's going to be first round TKO. Conor McGregor is saying that it would probably take 4 minutes of the first round to beat Chad Mendes. I got Mendes getting the TKO in half that time, and I do predict that when Jose Aldo comes back recovering from his rib injury, I do think that Aldo Mendes 3 will happen sometime in Brazil, or not in Brazil, but in the States. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, that is our show for this evening. And for all the latest and the greatest in the MMA world, stop by themmacorner.com. As always, we are your home for all things MMA. For all of us here at the MMA Corner, my name is Dale D'Souza. Fight fans, we will talk to you next week and enjoy UFC 189, McGregor versus Mendes.